Well, good morning, everybody. This is Tobias Rex, and this is the Sharks, Dinosaurs, and Mythical Creatures podcast coming at you right now. I would like to say happy belated New Year to y'all. I hope you had a great Christmas, especially with that episode. And to kick off the new year, this episode is going to be another remake. Now, once again, the reason why I'm remaking certain episodes is because of new discoveries, therefore making my current ones outdated. But this will be the ultimate remake. This episode takes place around 68 million years ago, in the late Cretaceous period. Due to the asteroids slowly approaching and dormant volcanoes around the globe starting to show signs of life and things like that, the days of the dinosaurs would have been numbered, but while they were still there at the time, only one of them was their ruler. Come on, kids. You know him. You love him. Tyrannosaurus Rex. Ever since his discovery in 1905, Tyrannosaurus Rex became the single most well-known and popular dinosaur, the greatest stock of stock dinosaurs. While it may not have been the biggest carnivorous dinosaur ever, it was probably amongst the most powerful and dangerous, and is certainly the most famous, mainly because it looks badass with its massive head, powerful jaws, and sharp teeth. For this reason, it is often seen as one of both the scariest and most majestic creatures that ever lived. And in this episode, I'm going to be debunking a various number of myths that people have on T-Rex, starting with the abbreviation of its name. Whereas most dinosaurs are known outside paleontological circles by only their genus, T-Rex is known by its full name. Tyrannosaurus, the genus name, comes from the Greek tyrannos, meaning tyrant, and sauros, meaning lizard. Rex, the species name, is Latin for the word king. So the whole name translates into Tyrant Lizard King. And as per the rules of scientific naming, the genus name should be spelled with an uppercase T, whereas the species name should be spelled with a lowercase r. So the correct abbreviation of this dinosaur's name is capital T, period, space, Rex with a lowercase r. Not T-Rex, and definitely not T-Rex with a capital R. Capital T, period, space, lowercase r, Rex. T-Rex. Time period. T-Rex lived at the very end of the Cretaceous period, 68 to 66 million years ago. As one of the very last non-avian or non-bird dinosaurs, it was around to experience the infamous asteroid collision that ended their reign. Any depiction of T-Rex being earlier than that is therefore not correct. A possible T-Rex fossil roughly 10 million years older than that was reported in 2006, but that remains controversial. The range. T-Rex was a species that was exclusive to North America. During the late Cretaceous, North America was divided into two smaller continents by a shallow sea named the Western Interior Seaway. T-Rex lived on the western continent, dubbed Laramidia, and its fossils have been found throughout Laramidia, ranging from Alberta and Saskatchewan in the north, to Texas and New Mexico in the south, possibly even as far south as Mexico itself. However, T-Rex's closest relative at the time was Tarbosaurus, and Tarbosaurus lived in East Asia. It is theorized that because of how closely related it was to its Asian cousin, T-Rex's ancestors likely originated from Asia and crossed over the Bering Strait land bridge into North America, eventually taking over most of Laramidia. Size. T-Rex was famous for being one of the largest theropods, rivaling the notorious contenders Giganotosaurus and Spinosaurus in length, and likely being heavier than both of them. The Sioux skeleton is 12.3 to 12.8 meters long, and it stands 4 meters tall at the hip and is estimated to weigh 8.4 to 14 metric tons. For comparison, that's 2 to 3 times that of an African bush elephant. But the biggest T-Rex ever found was given the name Scotty. And Scotty was confirmed to be female, and I could be wrong about this, but I think how she got her name is when she was discovered, the people celebrated by drinking Scotch whiskey. I could be wrong, but I think that's how she got her name. T-Rex was also much bulkier in real life compared to the athletic manner that fiction and older reconstructions tend to depict it with. As a result of this, it probably didn't go very fast. Current estimates of its top speed generally agree on somewhere between 18 to 24 kilometers an hour. But given that most of its usual prey was also large and bulky, T-Rex didn't have to be that fast. Posture. Early versions of T-Rex depicted it in a kangaroo-like pose, dragging its tail on the ground like Godzilla. However, thanks to more complete skeletons, we now know that T-Rex actually held itself horizontally, balancing its huge head and body with its powerful tail. Speaking of the head, T-Rex had a massive one, and its mouth was full of sharp teeth, up to 20 centimeters or 8 inches in length, sometimes dubbed killer bananas because of their size and shape. T-Rex's bite force is estimated to be about 8,000 pounds, stronger than any other known land animal. And due to this, T-Rex was a bone crusher. T-Rex could crunch right through bone with that much bite force. Now, the puny arms. One of the most iconic and most ridiculed traits of T-Rex is its tiny arms. They had two fingers with sharp claws on them, and the palms faced inward rather than downward. So most versions of T-Rex in the media show it with its hands facing downward, like they're pronated, whereas in real life, they were as if you're about to clap. They were supinated. Now, I'm going to explain why there was so little. The reason for T-Rex's arms being so tiny is for practicality reasons. Large arms would have gotten in the way of T-Rex's bite, which was the dinosaur's primary killing tool. Thus, whereas other predators have clawing weapons to complement their teeth, T-Rex put all its power into its jaws. But even in spite of their size, the arm bones show signs of large muscle attachment, and thus they were very strong and capable of lifting up to 200 pounds. Or 90 kilograms. Because of this, T-Rex might have used its arms to hold on to struggling prey while it dispatched it with its jaws. In addition to this, they also could have been used to help lift the animal up from a sleeping position when it was getting up, hold on to a mate during mating, or even to pick up its offspring the same way a crocodile uses its jaws to carry its babies. Hunter or scavenger? Though the T-Rex is typically portrayed as a hunter in media, there is an infamous debate amongst paleontologists as to whether or not T-Rex was actually a scavenger instead. And this was popularized by paleontologist Jack Horner, the real inspiration for Jurassic Park's Dr. Alan Grant. While proponents of the scavenger theory point to T-Rex's slow speed, bone-crunching ability, and acute sense of smell, the overwhelming majority of experts believe T-Rex was primarily a hunter, as evidenced by its potential prey also being fairly slow. However, T-Rex definitely would have eaten any carcass it came across, and it's possible that large adult T-Rex would regularly steal the kill or hunt of other large carnivores, including rivaling T-Rex. Modern predators, such as tigers and great white sharks, do this, especially in their old age. That said, T-Rex hunted some formidable prey regularly. Its prey consisted of heavily armored animals like Triceratops and Ankylosaurus, as well as herd-moving behemoths like Edmontosaurus and Allosaurus. On the other hand, young T-Rex, with their slenderer bodies and narrower snouts, hunted faster-moving and more delicate mid-sized animals like Ornithomimus and Pachycephalosaurus. Bite marks on T-Rex's bones attributable to other T-Rex also suggests that it may have been a cannibal. Feathers or scales? Historically, T-Rex was portrayed with lizard or crocodile-like scaly skin, but with the discovery that many dinosaurs, particularly raptors, were feathered, it's been suggested that T-Rex was too, basically looking like a giant toothy bird. However, fossilized skin impressions of T-Rex and other tyrannosaurids show that most of its body was indeed scaly, or at least extremely sparsely feathered. The only place that could have been fully feathered was its back, like a lion's mane. As T-Rex was a large animal living in warm climate, it likely didn't need the extra insulation from such a thick coat, just as similarly sized mammals, such as elephants and rhinos, are also sparsely haired. Some still speculate that T-Rex might have had thick feathers as a baby, because at that time, it was still small enough to actually need insulation, and it would eventually lose these as it reached a certain age and size, similar to how a baby penguin molts away its birth feathers as it becomes an adolescent. And about the whole toothy part, most depictions of T-Rex show it with its upper teeth visible, kind of like a crocodilian, but in real life, they would have had lips covering their teeth, because if their teeth stayed visible the whole time, then they would dry out and probably break. Now, the sound, everybody's favorite. In almost every single movie, documentary, cartoon, or video game that features it, T-Rex is portrayed as being able to announce its presence with a mighty roar. And thanks to Jurassic Park, everybody knows what that roar sounded like. And one of, if not the, most iconic scenes in the first Jurassic Park is when the original T-Rex, Rexy, broke out of her cage, stepped onto the road, and let out a roar. And using the words of sound designer Gary Rydstrom, I think that's how you say his last name, I'm going to dissect the sounds that were used for that scene. Gary says that the first sound you hear of Rexy is not a vocal sound effect, it's actually her feet. So they used sections of really big redwood trees hitting the ground for the footsteps. That's a whale. Now, Gary said he didn't get any vocals of a whale that he liked, but their blowhole made good breathing sounds for the T-Rex. That's an alligator. It's a very low frequency, so it's guttural. It's kind of throaty. So that is going to be the low frequency element in the final take. And this is a lion, which he used for the attack when she bit down on the fence. Gary said he tried not to use lion sounds, but he had to. Because they're just too good. And get ready for this, folks. Gary says when it comes to voicing the T-Rex, the key is that high frequency noise, and that was from a baby elephant that he recorded. The big, fully mature, full-grown elephants that he recorded weren't very interesting at that time, but one of the baby elephants made a really high-pitched scream, and the baby elephant only made this noise once, and the handlers kept trying to see if it could do it again, and they were saying things like, "We've never heard it do that before, that's a weird noise." So that's how it all started. So get ready, guys, here it is by itself, the little cute baby elephant and the high-pitched scream that it did. Yeah, that was a baby elephant. So now let's see how that blends with the rest of them in the final take. And here's something funny, guys. When Jurassic Park came out, Gary Rydstrom said that he got a call from somebody who works for the press, asking if he would respond to... There was a scientist in Japan who did research on dinosaur vocalizations and said that Gary had gotten it all wrong. Basically, what this guy claimed is that the T-Rex would not roar because it wasn't a mammal or mammalian creature. It was something different, something more bird-like, you know, so it couldn't produce that kind of noise. He said the only sound you could really hear from a T-Rex would just be like the gurgling of its stomach. And they asked for Gary's response, to which he said, "It's a movie." But I want you to take a second and imagine how funny that would be. You know, you see Rexy coming out of the cage, but all you could hear was indigestion. That'd be pretty anticlimactic if you ask me. However, there is actually little evidence that T-Rex could roar the same way a lion or a bear could, since it lacked the vocal organs that allow mammals to do so. Instead, T-Rex might have produced low-pitched rumbling, hissing, and bellowing, similar to crocodilians and various species of birds, ranging from large flightless birds such as the emu, cassowary, and ostrich, to water birds like a bittern, which honestly still would have sounded pretty dang impressive, but possibly a bit underwhelming for those that are used to the movies. So the only way to picture a T-Rex roaring would be to take the voice box of an alligator, then add a big slice of an elephant's voice box, and stir in a teensy drop of lion, then scale that alligator up to 45 feet long and weighing over 8 tons. The vibrations produced by a communicating T-Rex may have been deep and powerful enough to have not only been heard, but also felt when they rippled through the air, possibly creating small tremors. So realistically, a T-Rex would sound like this. It's very subtle grunting like that. And the roar would actually be very, very subtle. But I still like to imagine a T-Rex roaring in my science fiction view. I think T-Rex in my science fiction view would have a bellow similar to that of an elephant. So by implementing my scientific version, but also keeping it realistic, I'm going to mix those three sounds that you just heard with some stock elephant noises, and we'll see how that would sound like on a Rex. And the mating call of a T-Rex would be pretty interesting, because in Walking with Dinosaurs, the T-Rex's mating call sounds like this. I have no idea what animal that came from, but that's what it sounds like in Walking with Dinosaurs. In real life, the way a T-Rex would show love is it would do like a crocodile does, and it would lift its head, show its throat, and make low rumbling noises that would sound similar to the whirring blades of a helicopter. So realistically, a T-Rex's mating call would sound like this. So if you hear that in the woods, it's easy to assume it's a helicopter, but you should probably take into consideration the possibility of it being a T-Rex in love. And here's something else interesting. In your science fiction view of what it's like to be stalked by a T-Rex, say you're camping in a forest and then you hear those thundering footsteps. Well, if you really were being stalked by a T-Rex and you were listening carefully, you wouldn't hear a thing. Tyrannosaurus could move through a forest in near silence because it had cushion padding on its feet. You wouldn't even notice it was there until it was too late. Now, its senses. T-Rex had extraordinary senses of smell and hearing. Analysis of the brain case in fossilized skulls shows that it had large olfactory bulbs and a long cochlear duct, capable of receiving low-frequency noises. These traits would have helped out as both a predator, for tracking and listening for prey, and as a scavenger, for finding carcasses from a great distance and detecting approaching rivals. Now, it's eyesight. So, you think that you can just stand still and a T-Rex would lose sight of you just like that, like in the movies? Sorry, but no, that's not how it's gonna be. That's not how it works. T-Rex had excellent eyesight. And this would have let the creature spot objects from as far as 6 kilometers away with 13 times the detail, because it had large forward-facing eyes that connected to big optical lobes and a relatively narrow snout, and this allowed for something known as binocular vision. This was probably the T-Rex's most unique trait, as almost no other dinosaur had vision like this. This ability supports the idea that T-Rex was a hunter, as binocular vision is beneficial when chasing prey, even in the dark. Now, intelligence. Most early depictions of T-Rex depict them as solitary brutes that have little in the way of brain power or social ability. More recent studies have shown that Tyrannosaurus rex had a bigger brain-to-body ratio than previously thought, being smarter than earlier species of giant theropods. In fact, some studies, albeit controversial ones, suggest that T-Rex may have had an intelligence level similar to those of wolves or even baboons, and this would have made it one of, if not the, smartest non-avian dinosaur. So, if you guys remember that scene in Land of the Lost where Will Ferrell's character, Rick Marshall, insults a T-Rex named Grumpy, saying its brain is the size of a walnut, and Grumpy slowly stops, turns around, and sneers at him? Well, that's actually correct. Given that T-Rex was pretty smart, Grumpy was right to be pissed off. Given its adaptations and how its common prey items included some heavily armored and highly social animals, it's likely that T-Rex would need the intelligence to be able to take down its prey with different strategies and know when to throw in the towel and eat something that's already dead. Like, for example, everybody likes to think that T-Rex was the scariest thing and it just kills everything it sees, no problem. Well, in Prehistoric Planet, you remember that scene where the T-Rex was feeding on a carcass of a dead sauropod and two giant pterosaurs just came and annoyed the heck out of it until it walked away? Think of that as you walking on a beach holding an ice cream cone and two seagulls just started pecking at you. Of course you'd run away. So even T-Rex is no one to throw in the towel. Some scientists have also proposed that T-Rex hunted in packs. But the idea of such coordinated behavior in predatory dinosaurs is controversial, as birds of prey and crocodiles don't hunt socially. There are some exceptions, though. If T-Rexes did work together, then here's how they would successfully hunt. They probably wouldn't hunt like in the middle of the day at like a large watering hole where lots of herbivores are because there's so many watching eyes, so your cover's already been blown. How T-Rexes would successfully hunt together is they would likely wait until nightfall, which is when most of the herbivores have already gone to sleep or moved into the forest for shelter. Then, they would slowly move through the forest, relying on their padded feet to stay hidden in the darkness. And once they spotted a herd of, say, Edmontosaurus or some other large hadrosaurs, they would carefully get into their spots. Then, one would intentionally make a sound like step on a twig, alarming the herd and putting them on high alert to anything suspicious. Once the signal is given, figuratively of course, one T-Rex would rush out, and the herd, scared for their lives, would book it out of there and unknowingly run to where the other T-Rex would be waiting for an ambush. Then a 19-ton wrestling match would break out, consisting of headbutts, shoves, slams, and bites to the face until the hadrosaur's life ebbed away. So if you ask me, I'd say that's a perfectly executed plan. Now, it's neighbors. In art and fiction, T-Rex is portrayed living alongside dinosaurs that it didn't exist with in reality. Most cases show it hanging around Jurassic dinosaurs like Stegosaurus. But even authors who try to do their homework often slip up a little bit by showing T-Rex coexisting with late Cretaceous North American dinosaurs that lived about 5 to 10 million years earlier, such as Parasaurolophus and Styracosaurus. Dinosaurs that did live with T-Rex were Triceratops, Ankylosaurus, Edmontosaurus, Alamosaurus, Pachycephalosaurus, Ornithomimus, Struthiomimus, and many others. No other Tyrannosaur shared T-Rex's ecosystem, with the only other North American Tyrannosaur at the time, Nanooksaurus, living much farther north in the Alaskan Arctic. Also found in T-Rex's habitat were the primitive amphibious reptile Champsosaurus and the giant pterosaur Quetzalcoatlus. Now, the environment. The prehistoric North American range of T-Rex was divided between a swampy subtropical forest to the north and arid inland plains to the south. These environments supported different faunas. The former, known as the Lancean fauna and most famously represented by the Hell Creek Formation of Montana, was dominated by the trike, Edmonto, and Ankylosaurus, while the latter, the less studied San Juanian fauna, known primarily from the Ojo Alamo Formation of New Mexico, was dominated by Alamosaurus, Torosaurus, and the Quetzal. But for now, however, it appears that T-Rex was one of the most widespread and adaptable large carnivorous dinosaurs to have ever lived. And there have been so many popular culture references of T-Rex that I'm not even going to get into that, but I'm going to discuss two that stick with my family. In a dinosaur heritage card deck that my family and I have, whoever was making it did a perfect choice to label the T-Rex as the Queen of Spades. And thanks to that, the way we play Crazy 8 is very different than how you're supposed to play it. How we play it is that we also have the Jurassic Park Monopoly game, and we use the gate from that. What happens is, since we have multiple ones of the same deck, we can lay multiple T-Rexes. And some of the rules in our version of Crazy 8 defy the normal ones. Like, for example, if you lay one T-Rex, then you have to press the gate. If the sound you hear is music, then you pick up 10 cards. If the sound is a roar, then you pick up 15. And they can stack, but the highest amount of cards you can pick up is 50. You can't go higher than that. And you can also make the person across from you pick up cards if you lay a Jack of Spades and a T-Rex. You can really screw someone over if you do that. And the original T-Rex card suffered through a little tussle, and it has a rip in it, and because of that, we nicknamed it Scarface. And whenever we lay it, we say that famous line, "You want to play rough? Say hello to my little friend." I've actually had a personal encounter with a T-Rex once, and it was the biggest one that ever lived in Canada, Scotty. And I'm going to tell you the story of how it happened. This was about 5 years ago. In 2019 is when this happened. Every summer, my family and I go to a certain lake that my aunt and uncle have a cabin that they stay at. It was in 2019, about 5 years ago, that we went there. We stayed at my aunt's cabin, and I was with my uncle. One night, we were getting ready for bed, when we heard this really strange noise coming from outside by the fire pit. So I got up, and I went into the dining room to, you know, check it out. I looked out the window, and there was the biggest, baddest Tyrannosaurus Rex that I have ever seen in my entire life. Right there, outside. This theropod stood over 12 feet high, and it had big white teeth, fangs, stained red from whatever it killed before it reached the cabin. It was frightening. Frightening, I tell you. The teeth on this thing were immense, jagged, razor sharp, like serrated bananas. Only worse. Worse. And this wasn't a movie. This was happening right in front of me, and the only thing that separated me from that Tyrannosaur was a pane of glass. Now, I looked at the Rex. It looked at me. And it was hungry. Hungry for flesh. Human flesh. You see, once a Rex gets a taste for flesh, it craves it. It needs it. It will do anything it can to get it. That T-Rex had become a predator. We locked eyes. My heart was pumping so hard that I felt like at one point it would legit explode out of my chest. So I ran into the living room and I grabbed a paintball gun off the fireplace, and then I turned around and there was that T-Rex right in the window. Its hot, foul-smelling breath was fogging up the glass. And suddenly, it let out this deafening, god-awful roar. Then it started smashing into the walls. The floorboards were lifting, the cupboards were rattling, and anything that was in those cupboards was bound to break. It was a horrendous shudder. And I knew then, at that moment, that it was either the dinosaur or my uncle and I. So I loaded the paintball gun, I raised it, I took aim, and shot. And just to clarify, no, I did not kill it, because a paintball gun is not going to kill a monstrous theropod like that. What really happened was as soon as the paintball hit the glass, it exploded and got splotches of red paint all over its face. And then it just disappeared. It ran off, and we never saw it again. But only I hear from my uncle every now and then. Because he used to tell us about Scotty, the late surviving Tyrannosaurus that was roaming about the area. The late surviving Tyrannosaurus Rex of our campsite. Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to like and subscribe to my podcast. Comes out every 2 weeks. This is Tobias Rex saying Godspeed. And Jurassic Park's T-Rex, Rexy, is going to sign off for us. The honors are all yours, big girl. Let us have it. Oh, she's eating right now. Probably shouldn't disturb her. Now, does that Triceratops taste good? Here she comes.